Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I'm Benita Lee, and I am signing in for Jose Montoya, who will be a little bit late today. Our topic is a really interesting one, and I think you're going to be surprised, as I was. I'm going to bring with me on a guest, Miss Casey Jenkins. Casey, where are you?
So, hello, everyone. I'm down in Savannah, Georgia. It's nice and hot, but it's sunny, so I will take it. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too, and thanks for spending your time with us. As we take a look at this topic, supply chain influencers.
Yeah, I would say it's I feel like the discussion is going to be a good one. It's a good topic. It's definitely a good topic.
Yeah. I guess, first of all, we have to define what they are. Like, I did some research, Casey, and I saw that online, when you just Google the word influencer, it's usually a person or a brand entity that influences consumer choices. Mm-hmm. Now, in supply chain, if we directly apply that, then would the supply chain influencers be people that influence maybe service provider decisions? I don't know.
Yeah. So one thing I would say is that just from my perspective on this, mm-hmm. is I feel like the term influencer doesn't necessarily fit within business and supply chain. And the reason I say that, I think we should come up with a different term. And maybe through this conversation, we can all come up with a different term for like who these people are. I feel like, and this is, again, just my perception, my opinion on it.
Of course. You know,
the term influencer carries a connotation, and I think that derives of, you know, how it's being used on other platforms, right? Like I think of, you know, social media, not LinkedIn social media, but like actual social media, and what that term of influencer kind of means on there, and how I don't think we necessarily want that connotation brought into supply chain or business. Because like you said, like, that word indicates that we're trying to sway people and sway their choices. And I think what we should be doing instead is, you know, we don't want to be swaying on what the foundational concept or theory of supply chain is, right? Or logistics. We want to be able to educate, advise, consult, guide, inform. Some of those types of, you know, words, I would say, are probably better choices, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that. And I think we could start with maybe, like, I like your words, guide and thought leadership.
Yeah, or like informant or, you know, educator, something of that perspective. Mainly because, you know, like, for example, I had someone not too long ago say, you know, well, you're becoming quite the influencer. And when I stopped to think about it, I was like, I don't know if I necessarily like being called that. Because I'm not trying to influence, I'm trying to help, right? Like I'm trying to give people the tools, give people the knowledge, the abilities, the education, you know, the foundations to be able to then do their jobs or think differently or, you know, do better for the industry. And so like when I kind of stopped to think about it, I was like, I'm not trying to influence. I'm just trying to help, or I'm trying to push forward or collaborate, learn from others. Right. And I think, you know, that idea of influencing, like when people are putting out content, it's not to try to get attention or likes or a following, right? Like within supply chain and business, we want to be putting out content as a means to help each other, you know, collaborate, learn from each other, maybe get some different insight. Like it's not a, we're not trying to sway. This isn't a persuasion tactic, right?
And nor do we have like affiliate links that people need to click on.
So I think if we could come up with like a different term for it, that maybe isn't influencer, because I just feel like that doesn't really have a place within business or supply chain logistics, any of it, in my opinion.
I like that. I like that. We'll have the audience come up with some terms. Like, what do you think we should call them in our industry, like in business or in supply chain?
Yeah. And, you know, I see John's comment here popping up and there's a perception that comes with the word. And that's exactly what I'm hitting on is, you know, we want a perception that's coming from a foundation of, you know, actually providing value, that value concept. Right. And it's not catering to these, you know, other platform trends. It's not catering to, you know, just pushing things to get a following or likes or comments or, you know, engagement. It's actually contributing to give, you know, some value within, you know, what we're trying to say, what we're trying to do, and in turn, push the industry forward.
I totally agree with you. Good point, John. It's often associated with social media. Yeah. Have you seen any supply chain TikToks?
So I'm going to be honest, I do not stay up to date on like the latest and greatest in social media. I barely use it for myself. So I'm not on TikTok at all. I know that seems kind of surprising. So no, I haven't. I know other people use it and I've heard it's kind of entertaining, but I don't.
Right. I don't, I cut off my TikTok account because I was just like, this is getting too crazy and it wastes a lot of time as well. So
yeah,
I wasn't getting value out of it.
Yeah.
But I think this topic came up, for Jose. Jose chose this topic for Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain today. And he always comes up with really good ones. And he chose this because I think I made a post. I saw that LinkedIn had announced that there were supply chain top voices in supply chain on the platform. So there were LinkedIn influencers that just happened to focus on the topic of supply chain. And I posted it. I said, if you want your feed to be full of supply chain news, maybe follow these people just to be helpful, right? And who knew it was going to become a Friday topic?
Well, I will say that Jose definitely has a way with these topics. He always picks such great ones, honestly. I did see that post, though, and I read through, you know, some of who those influencers are. And in looking at them, as well as some others that I follow, you know, in the industry and what they're doing, it's people who are actually making a change and making a difference. And I think that's important, that those are the people that we want to be following. And I say following loosely, you know, those are the people we want to be collaborating with, learning from, working with, that type of thing. Because they're actually doing things that are continuing to progress us forward. Mm-hmm. And they're not catering to just like, you know, these different trends, right? Like they're not hopping on a bandwagon of a buzzword, right? Like they're actually making differences within their organizations, which in turn kind of trickles into other organizations as they see what changes they're making, and really, you know, driving some change. I think that's much needed. And I feel like those are the types of people that, you know, should be the ones who are that, I guess, influencer. I don't like that word. Maybe top voices. I kind of like that word.
which word? Okay.
Like top voices.
Top voice. Yeah.
Maybe that's a good one. I'm not sure. I hope someone in the audience can like toss out some terms here for us so we can talk about them. Cause I can't think of anything other than like influencer or, you know, I don't like that word though.
Thought leader, but that might indicate that you only have thoughts and you've never executed. So there needs to be an all-encompassing one where you have experience and you can talk about a topic in supply chain, or you have a certain area of expertise.
Right. And so, I mean, I guess I kind of want to toss this out to you.
Okay.
What do you think makes a good, like, thought leader or a good, like, how do you think that person should be conveying their messages?
Oh, yeah. Huge. Like, not someone that is continuously selling to you.
Yeah.
I guess they sell ideas instead of services or products. I think that in selling ideas, that might be what and providing value, right? Creating content, you know, actually getting out there and, you know, embracing those supply chain and logistics questions that people otherwise wouldn't be able to talk of solutions.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's too many, it seems like, and especially during the pandemic, we saw there were so many people talking about supply chain.
Yeah.
But who could really bring the solutions?
Right. I would say that I think it's like a good, like it would need to be a good blend of someone with expertise, but also a little, you know, I guess foundational backing, right? Like in terms of knowledge as well, because I would say that, don't get me wrong, the expertise piece is awesome, right? But as we've seen, things in supply chain have changed to where the expertise, some of the old concepts can't be relied upon anymore, right? Because things have evolved. So I would say it has to be a mix of someone with, oh, I like that one. John's comment just popped up here, inspires. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, the people preaching these messages need to be able to be the ones who are not only like coming up with the thoughts and the concepts based upon, you know, their knowledge base, but also being able to speak to that in an execution style because of their expertise. I think there's a blend there that I think is, you know, necessary to be able to convey those messages well.
Hi, Natalia. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about supply chain influencers and, you know, is it a thing? Do they exist? What's a better name? Casey and I are trying to drum up some names of, This one was good. Supply chain tastemakers.
Oh, that one's an interesting one. Okay. Whoever had posted that, can you explain further on that? Like what you mean by tastemakers? Because I kind of like that one.
Yeah, like I kind of see a supply chain influencer that is involved with the food transportation industry. Or maybe wine.
Or maybe giving a taste of what there is in supply chain to know and be able to use.
I like it. Leticia is saying collaborator. I like that too.
Yeah, I think that's a good one too. Because, you know, when you really stop to think about it, what are we all doing on a daily basis, right? Like we're collaborating. We're collaborating to learn. We're collaborating to provide insight. We're collaborating to find new ways to do things. So that's also another good term is collaborator. I like that one.
I agree. Thank you, Leticia. Okay. Okay, here's a good one. LinkedIn user, we're not sure who you are. So tell us who you are. And they're saying the expertise has to be combined with the ability to communicate. The messages have to be a provocation to the audience to take back with them an action.
Yes.
Wow.
I like that a lot because I think it's, I agree. You have to be able to communicate, you know, those concepts, expertise, the ideas in a manner that is, you know, going to be actionable. That's kind of tough sometimes because I think a lot of times we see, especially on LinkedIn, when people are, you know, sharing posts or even other social media sites, you know, and trying to keep it concise so people don't have to read a lot. I get this a lot because my LinkedIn posts are always so long because I feel like I have to be able to explain things, right? Or be able to communicate it in a way that's to be understood. So I really like that a lot. I think it's also being able to communicate it in a, you know, like concise manner as well. Cause I know I struggle with that. So
me too. Like, I think we all do. Okay. I've just figured out, and maybe this is a colleague or a friend of yours, Matthew Zahand.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Okay. That's who that is.
Awesome. Thank you for that insight.
Thank you, Matthew. I mean, Matthew's so full of good ones today. You're driving thought and you're driving action. The influence when it comes to supply chain only moves forward with action. Yes. The taste maker molds how we see the future of supply chain in practice. Oh, I like that.
That's good. I actually really like that a lot. That's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. There was something that you said that I wanted to explore, but I can't remember what it was. You said that you have long form posts and yeah. I'm trying to shorten mine too, Casey, because people are said to spend like 3 seconds on your post. And if they're not hooked in that 3 seconds, then they're gone.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, I don't know. I've tried to tailor my posts differently, but then I feel like personally for me with like my brand and what I'm trying to convey for myself is like, I feel like I'm losing the value out of it if I take too much out, right? Or the concept isn't going to be understood or conveyed the right way. And I've experienced that a few times with some posts where, you know, I say something, but because of, you know, how many people are engaging with the posts and different perspectives and different, you know, ideas, which is fantastic. It's like, I want to make sure that I'm conveying it the right way or trying to convey what I'm saying to where there's no confusion or it's clear. So a lot of times, like my posts will be they'll be pretty long and I'm usually almost exceeding the character max. But, you know, for me personally, I feel like that's the best way for me to get my thoughts out there, get my ideas out there in a manner that is, you know, clear for me as well as everyone else reading it. But I've seen some others that I'm like, I need to reach out to them because they keep it so concise. And I'm like, how do you do this? Because I can't. And maybe it's because I'm used to writing for academia, you know, where you're writing papers that are 15 pages long and it's like you've got to add that fluff. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
It could be. I think you're going about it the right way, though, is like following and, you know, maybe reaching out to those whom have influence over you.
Yeah.
So maybe like the influencer term can only be applied to like each individual. And I can say, oh, Casey is an influencer for me. It's upside down, Jose.
I am.
You were.
No, you're good now.
How about Amina?
You're good now.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning, Daisy. Good morning, Benita. How are you?
Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon. Yep, we can hear you.
How's everything going?
We started the show without you, and I'm glad we did because it's 23 after 11. So before our host shows up.
You always make the right decision, that's for sure. So how we're doing? I mean, definitely this thing about the influencers is something very hot, a hot topic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a hot topic.
I have my preference here. Benita is my influencer number one. I'm good right now.
Only if he does things.
I remember we have on the graphics, I mean, we have all different people. We have Casey, of course. Thank you for joining, Casey. It's always a pleasure to have you around. We have Audrey Rose, we have Laura, we have Eric Johnson, we have Christoph. There's so many different people, but definitely the question is, what make an influencer in supply chain and logistics, right? So now that we have Casey here, probably she can just let us know her insight. So Casey, go ahead and let me know what make us an influencer in supply chain and logistics.
Yeah, so actually Benita and I have been talking about that. We need to find a new term for it. Mm-hmm. I know you hopped on late, but we don't like the term influencer because, you know, of the connotation that it carries on other, you know, social media platforms or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we've been talking about other words and we've had some people toss out, you know, collaborator. Someone else tossed out tastemaker, which was an interesting one. And also like, you know, from my perspective, either a contributor, informant, educator, something of that nature is how we need to kind of frame this, I feel like, moving forward. And yeah, we've had supporter, uh-huh, partner, we've had a bunch of them tossed out here. So we're trying to come up with a new term for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would like to have some special because all of us, we are very special, right?
Yes.
So it needs to be very special. I have to agree with Casey. I don't like the influencer word because it's been used in so many different ways and probably is not the best connotation that we can have, right? So
right.
That's something that we need to think about. I mean, I'm probably changing the term for that. Benita, what do you think about that? What is your take on that?
Well, I was telling Casey that maybe thought leader, but you know, we'd like to think that these supply chain leaders have ability to execute and mm-hmm. take on, they do and not just think. So I think you would like Leticia's because of the word partner. And you often talk about your business as partner as a, or what is it? Partner as a service?
Partner as a service, yes. That is correct, right. Yes. Partnership as a service. So yeah, that, without any question, it has a different connotation. I don't know. But I don't think that we are going to be resolving that right now to have the proper word for that. But without any question, I mean, those called influencers in supply chain and logistics, I mean, definitely they play a significant role in everything that we do, right? In the shipping industry, of course, in everything that is related with the movement of goods, then basically everyone is an influencer in a way, right? And I'm talking about not only you have to be the top of one organization, I mean that there are so many people in multiple different levels that they can play an important role that they influence everything mm-hmm. or the final outcome for the supply chain and logistics. So with that in mind, I mean, definitely is, I mean, it's not only a role for those that we have the opportunity to share, to influence other people, to share our thoughts, to promote any particular service or any disruption to the things that we do on a regular basis. So have you had the opportunity to play those videos that we received from our influencers?
Not yet, but I'm going to bring one up as soon as I give a shout out to Gabriel here.
When you start coming up next?
It's going to be Eric. When you start as a junior in a logistics company and there's someone there more senior that teaches you and gives support to others, that person is a supply chain mentor. I like that.
That's a good term too.
Yeah, and motivators. Natalie's
Natalie has a very good.
That was a good one.
Yeah, because it indicates action.
You know, Natalia Kainsey, right? Yeah, well, I mean, that is an important one. So let's share what Eric has to say, and then we are going to take it from that.
Okay. I wonder if I hope the sound comes through. I hope the sound comes
through. Hopefully it will.
I'm going to share my inbox. Sorry. Oops, you don't want that.
One way to do it is you can open a different tab and then share from that tab.
Oh, right. Let me go back here.
So Eric Johnson took some time. I mean, he's on vacations. He took some time and he's going to be sharing, I mean, his thoughts about answers in the supply chain and logistics. So hopefully we are going to be able to see that. How are you doing with 828? Tell us about 828.
Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, everything's going great. And it's funny because Benin and I were talking at the beginning of this episode of how, you know, the concept of influencer, and someone called me that, you know, because I put out all the videos and the content, and how it resonated with me of like, I didn't like that term. We were talking about that earlier. So.
I see. So can you share about the 828, how everything is going?
Yeah. So basically 828, I'm an execution style consultant. So I work with companies to identify gaps in their processes and how to improve them. It's going well. Will I say it's challenging to have your own business? Yes. Any of you solopreneurs or solo business owners out there, hats off, because I am learning all of the challenges associated with that. but you know what? I've actually had some really great mentors and leaders. I know Jose has been one of those throughout, you know, last year or two that I've known him, and have provided me a lot of guidance. So I'm very fortunate to have met some people who are, you know, helping me navigate my way through this. So
that's fantastic. I mean, I'm starting probably the most difficult. But definitely when you start, you are in the way. So I mean, that's the only that I know. So how are we need
okay, I just need to figure out how to hit the play button. Tell me if you're hearing his voice.
Thanks so much for inviting me on your show and about this subject. To be honest, I struggle a little bit with sort of the idea of a supply chain influencer. I think anyone who's sort of public facing in the industry a lot, who does a lot of videos or podcasts or webcasts or live events, is sort of in a position to be called an influencer of some kind. I don't know, honestly, how to define it, really. I think it's someone, I guess if I had to take a crack, it's someone who the industry looks to for value of some kind, whether it's value from their experience or value from an operational background in doing something, or value in bringing some sort of intelligence from another industry that can be applied to logistics or supply chain. In my case, I definitely don't consider myself an influencer, but you know, I try to bring value by connecting people, facilitating conversations between people that are really smart in the industry. So yeah, I would say it definitely is a thing. In terms of whether it's a good thing or not, I think there's definitely some people who see it as a way to sort of make a career out of it. And that's fine. Like, I think if you're using it as a platform to bring people together and get them to be smarter about how they go about doing their job, it's fantastic. If you're using it as a lever to sort of like make a living and not really add anything to the industry, it's not great. And B, you're probably not going to be around very long, because this industry kind of knows when it sees something that's legitimate or not. So, it's a super interesting topic. I think, you know, in some ways, Jose, I think you're a bit of an influencer, whether you believe it or not. Even though I'm kind of loath to like describe anyone as an influencer. But I think I would choose to use the word, you know, kind of value creator, someone bringing value to someone else's day by enabling them to do their job better. Essentially, that's what it should be all about. So thanks again for inviting me on to talk about the topic, and you do a great job with these shows. So hope everyone is enjoying today's topic.
He had some great points. And you know what? I like the term value creator. Yes. That's a good one. That is a really good one. But I think he had some really great points there, you know, related to the concept of what we're putting out there being value.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I think like he expressed what you had expressed earlier, is that it's not that great of a term, and anyone that claims they are one, probably not. And it's like the others need to claim. It's like you're not a leader unless people like actually follow you and, you know, take your guidance. And you're not an influencer unless other people are influenced by you.
Right. But I think he also, you know, he hit one of the points of, you know, how in this industry, people can tell when you don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty easy to see it, especially if you've been around for a while. So a lot of times, like, you know, I feel like also people sometimes are scared to put content out there or put things out there because of that aspect as well. But, you know, like, I've spoken with a few people now, you know, and from a sense of like a mentorship style, and then have told them like, hey, you know what? It's okay to put stuff out there, because as you get feedback and as you get understanding of, you know, different things, you're promoting and you're providing value in terms of, you know, like Eric said, bringing people together to comment and bounce ideas off of each other, or maybe help you to learn. Right. You know, I mean, there's times where I've shared things and, you know, I'm not 100% sure if I even understand it enough, but I'll put something in there that says, does anyone have experience on this to be able to inform me? Because I want to know.
Right. No, I've noticed. I learn from what you put out, Casey. So you influence me in my thinking, and I really appreciate that. And I think that in our industry, and when we expand it to, you know, trade compliance, it really gets huge, and not everyone can know everything. So if you're thinking about posting and you think that, you know, my thoughts aren't valid or my voice isn't valid, you probably should post anyway, because
right,
you're probably going to help one person. And maybe right, a person that was too scared to post or too scared to use their voice.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, like I said, sometimes, like, you know, people who are maybe scared to put those things out there, put their thoughts or ideas out there, it's like, you know, if they get some feedback or get people to collaborate where they can learn, it's like, it's a value add for everyone, you know? And so I challenge anyone who does have, you know, a concern about putting their voice out there or, you know, posting things, you know, as long as you do your research to make sure that you've got, you know, enough good quality information, don't be afraid to actually share your experience or expertise with others, because it will provide value, like you said, for at least one person.
Right.
Or you can learn from it, you know, and that's okay too. You know, and like I said, there's been plenty of times where putting content out there or generating content, it is a learning experience. Yep. And, you know, all of us have been at that point where we felt, you know, afraid to put things out there, but we've also all learned, and we've learned from being able to with others and see how others are doing things or commenting on posts, and, you know, and so it is useful. So I would challenge anyone who's afraid to do it to just take the step and do it. It sounds like Jose is having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to mute him until he figures it out. So Jose, when you think you got it figured out, unmute yourself. So the other person that we got footage from was Christoph. I have trouble pronouncing his last name, so if anyone can help me. Schiette?
I'm not sure either. I don't want to butcher it. I know I'll butcher it.
Hi, Jose. It seems like you're having some technical difficulties. There's just a lot of background noise, and I'm trying to figure out where you're at here. I can see shuttle exit. Hello, Jose? Okay, we're just going to mute Jose. And I couldn't get Christoph's video. I think it was too long. So I'm going to play the audio. And it's not as good as having his face. He's in Germany. And he is also the host of The Joy of Logistics, mm-hmm. also on Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. And this is what he had to say. Tell me if you can hear it all right, okay, Casey?
Okay.
Because I don't know what it sounds like when it's, you know, like phone to laptop audio. If too garbled, I'll stop it.
And Jose, Benita, thank you guys for having me today. I highly appreciate it. Now, today's topic, influencers in logistics or supply chain, is this a thing? Yes, it is. It is vital. It's very important. You know, but to be fair, this area of influencing, if you want to put it like this, isn't just as big as food blogging. Or fashionistas or that type of stuff, but it is there, you know. And what roles are influencers playing in this or in our industry? Well, I think they're a little bit like journalists, because on the one hand side, they bring up best and worst case scenarios, or not, maybe not scenarios, but best practices and worst practices. I think that's a way better way to put it, right? They're shining a light on things that are working very good, positive developments, but of course also when things go south, they're pointing that as well. And of course, a second fraction, in my opinion, They're just there for the product and the taking part, which is just as equal with in my opinion, right? For me, influencers, or if we talk about our industry specifically, supply chain influencers or logistics influencers, they have to meet a certain criteria. In my opinion, just as any other area in life, they also should have expertise. You know, they have to have expertise, to be more precise here. Because I firmly believe if they've never been there and never done it, or just talking the talk but never walking the walk, how are they even able to give good advice? You know, because think about it. If you want to become, let's say, a gardener or a cook, and you take advice from somebody who, A, never stood himself in the garden or in the kitchen, or only shows poor results, would you take advice on them? Probably not. Chances are no, right? And I'm the same, you know. So if I want to cook a meal, obviously I want to talk to somebody that has already cooked it and was even able to eat it afterwards, right? So you want to make sure that you get your cake and eat it too, because of how good of an information or how good is the value add if there is less, little or no value to be added in the first place. Right. So those are my 2 cents on the topic. And once again, appreciate everybody joining in, taking the time out of your day. Once again, Jose Benita, appreciate you. Thank you very much for bringing me on the show. Thanks for having me. And I wish everybody a fantastic, happy Friday and a great weekend. Take care. Bye bye.
He made some really great points. And, you know, honestly, like, I think one of the biggest things that, you know, he had said there was the whole value concept. I think that's been consistent across, you know, everything we've talked about today is the providing of value, you know. And I've watched a lot of the episodes of his shows, and you know, that's one of the things is, you know, I saw some of the people who were speaking, you know, on this show today, and I follow a lot of their content. I follow their shows. You know, I follow you, I follow Jose, I follow Christoph, and mostly everyone else who was listed here. And, you know, every single one of us are providing value and providing enhancement. And I think that's just the key piece of this, because it comes from our expertise or it comes from our ability to execute. So I think that concept of value has been consistent across this show today.
It really has. There you have it, folks, from Christoph, the host of Joy of Logistics, and he is in Stuttgart, Germany. A little bit of a time difference, so he couldn't be here today.
Oh, we didn't want to have him on in the middle of the night.
Well, he's in his pajamas.
Hey, you know what? I mean, if he wants to provide some value in his pajamas, go ahead.
I agree. Oh, that could be a show. Casey and Benita. Supply chain pillow talk.
Providing value in pajamas, like that.
Right. Oh, there goes my dog. So Jose had to leave at 10:45 or his time, so Pacific time. So he is out for the day. It's just you and me, Casey. We're gonna have to close off the show together. What was the other part of it? Like, we wanted to talk about if it's a thing. So we all agree it is a thing. And then we all agree there needs to be some criteria attached, and that value creation is one of them. And expertise. I guess. Do you think anyone ever says, I want to grow up to be a supply chain influencer?
Honestly, like, I will say that I don't think even the concept of influencer as a whole came about until, you know, really social media kind of took off. So I don't think any of us as kids really, I think kids nowadays maybe do, but
right.
You know, from me, you know, I didn't grow up one thinking I'd even be in supply chain, but then two thinking that, you know, I would be a voice of providing, you know, content or value to the industry. So I'm not sure, maybe kids nowadays, you know, supply chain's a hot topic. So is being an influencer. Maybe that's a career choice for people right. nowadays. I'm not sure.
And maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing because then we would have professionals that were taught early on in school, you know, what supply chain is and how many areas of disciplines it really encompasses and, you know, how the world moves with the supply chain.
Right.
Everything is done. So maybe it would increase knowledge and expertise in that area, which we need, right?
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing too is that concept of knowledge and expertise and what makes, you know, a good influencer, whatever term we'd like to use there. You know, I feel like a lot of the problems with, you know, people who are influencing on other platforms is pushing information that isn't necessarily accurate, or, you know, it's kind of opinionated, or, you know, it's like, it might be something that worked for them, which is fantastic, but that may not work for everyone else, but pushing it as if that's like, you know, the way to do it. Right. And right. I think obviously being in supply chain, like I said before, and, you know, as I think it was Eric had touched on, like, you're going to be able to see through when someone doesn't know what they're talking about. Right. But even still, like, I still come across posts of people, you know, where they'll say like, this is the surefire way to do this, or this is the exact way to do that. And it's like, I don't think we want to be pushing that narrative, you know, within the industry, because as we've learned, things have changed, right? Like, what we were doing before, that might not work in 3 years. You know, what we're doing now probably won't work in, you know, next year, who knows, right? So I think it's the concept of, you know, also being able to evolve with the messaging as, you know, times change too. And that comes with that expertise and knowledge backing of staying up to date with the different trends in supply chain to be able to speak to them and execute on them.
I like that. I like that, Casey. If you want to follow Casey, follow her on, is the best place LinkedIn?
Yes. LinkedIn would probably be the best place. Feel free to toss me a message. I love connecting with people, networking with folks. Always happy to chat or set up, you know, a meet and greet to just, you know, make introductions. If there's one thing I've learned, it never hurts to say hello to someone. So
absolutely. As professionals in the industry, we are also people connector, because what is more important in supply chain than the people?
Right. Well, and, you know, I will say too, like, even I would consider even like doing networking calls or meeting and greeting as a form of influencing as well, because I mean, I can't tell you how many calls I've sat on. It's not just like your video content or your LinkedIn content. But also, you know, like having conversations like this, right? Or meeting with people, even just one-to-one, even those are, I would say, kind of influencer type things, because I've learned from a lot of different meet and greets that I've done, you know, for me personally, but just learning about other pieces of the industry that maybe I didn't even realize existed,
right?
Other job roles and how they fit into the industry. I mean, so I would even say that, you know, your influencing doesn't just stay within your written content, your videos. It extends in your relationships as well, you know, and how you interact with people too, which is why I say like that influencer term is, you know, like not, it's not necessarily the term we want to use. And I think Jose had touched on this as well, is, you know, how we're executing our jobs on a day-to-day basis, or who we're learning from. I know a comment we had earlier about having a mentor, right? You know, who we're learning from and things like that. Those are all influencing type interactions. So
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that, John. For those that are new, feel free to check the networking tab, like on this event, to see and connect with those who were in attendance and commenting. So I think they created that so that you wouldn't have to like go off screen to connect with someone and then miss part of like the event. Yeah, there's always new things to learn on LinkedIn. It's always changing, and who might be an influencer today may not be tomorrow.
Well, you know, it was interesting actually yesterday. I was reading, you know, because obviously LinkedIn has come out with their new like algorithm and stuff, right? And I heard like people were trying to figure out hacks to get around it and things like that. And just reading into like some of how that was working. And, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt because who was writing it was someone for LinkedIn. So I was like, okay, right, wait a second, like, you know, yeah. But just like in doing my research and how they measure the engagement, then push it out to the next like round of people, I guess, you know, like it depends on how it performs within a certain set of time. And then that pushes it further on how many other feeds it bleeds into. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking like, so it could be something that's misinformation that people latch onto and just start, you know, interacting with. But then because it, you know, got so much engagement, it's like, or low quality information, but because it got so much engagement, it's being pushed through. And I feel like that's where that concept of value comes back, right? And right, making sure that what we are putting out is, you know, high value stuff. So that way that's what's filling our timelines, and it's not, you know, low quality things that, you know, aren't really providing us any value or learning, yeah, or collaboration.
I kind of like that. Like when we talk about the algorithmic changes, the fact that low value content is being, you know, pushed further down,
yeah,
and high value content is being, you know, whether or not you have followers or not, are being, right, pushed up.
Yeah.
So I really like that they're doing that.
Yeah. And I think like, hopefully, and I've also seen a lot of, you know, commentary on LinkedIn and some people who've, you know, made jokes about it. Actually within our industry, I've seen quite a few about how, like, you know, there's some different times of day, you'll see very different stuff than during your normal work day. And it's like, you know, that piece of it is actually kind of funny because I didn't really catch on to that until I noticed it later that day after that person shared it. And I was like, that is so interesting how one part of my day I'm seeing a bunch of different things that are actually applicable, but then like I'll go to a different part of my day and see something that's just like, what is this?
Right. And I think I do, like, I'm constantly curating my feed in that if I see something I don't like, I'll always report it and say, I find this content boring or repetitive. Mm-hmm. So right, I have very few ads now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, it sometimes like the memes and the jokes, they're kind of funny, right? As a breakup to your day, right? Because I mean, we're all in it. Cute. On a daily basis, you know, like some of those things are funny, but you know, it's also one of those things where it's like, we've also got to make sure that even those messages are being conveyed with a little bit of, you know, value or a little bit of, you know, fact-based stuff, because, you know, fortunately for a lot of us, we're able to navigate that what's being said, even in those like funny or sarcastic or, you know, whatever type posts are sarcasm, right? Or funny or intended to be humor, but not everyone is, you know? And so it's one of those things where it's like, it goes back to that piece of, you know, how do you communicate those things? Right. And making sure that you're conveying your message, you know, however it's intended, funny, sad, happy, you know, whatever, as it should be intended.
Yeah. I'm really glad we had this talk, Casey. I'm going to be a little bit more cognizant about how I'm showing up today. And on the topic of Friday funnies, I need one. I need a supply chain or a trade compliance funny today to post. So if anyone has one, please send it to me. and I will post it on your behalf and give you credit for finding it.
You know, honestly, if there's one thing I've learned, it's a lot of times you can find humor in a lot of supply chain things, because when you stop to really think about it, it's like, it's almost funny how some of these things happen, right? So.
My dog was barking, so I had to put you on mute. So I think that's a great way to end supply chain, or coffee break logistics and supply chain influencers that we're now calling value creators and thought leaders, partners,
collaborators,
motivators. We can't thank you enough for showing up today and contributing to this conversation. And we'll see you all next Friday, same time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.